I got my my cold brew coffee here, or as I like to call it, bean water. Nice cold bean water. Start your day. I actually brought stopped at the gas station on the way here. Sorry, before I get started here, my name is Paul. If a lot of you don't know me, most of you do. I'm getting to do the third part of our series, Defining Moments, which is been really fun. We started off with Kim Richardson, and then my dad spoke last week. So if you weren't here, try to catch up on those or on the website. I tried to refresh myself last night on what we've been talking about. So I'm going to be continuing that series. This is the third part. And I wanted to do an illustration today, so I stopped at the gas station on my way over here and bought some refreshing water. And what I realized was there's a whole bunch of water at the gas station. Some of it's better than others, probably, but I brought some of my favorites. For instance, we have Life Water. It's got the cap. It's nice. We got Smart Water. This is good advertising. We got kind of the Aquafina. It's nice. And each one of these, if you read the labels, they all have different this one's purified by reverse osmosis. Don't really know what that is. We got natural spring water. This one was 99 cents, bottled in Michigan. I was trying to find one that was bottled in Aetna, because apparently there's some guy with his hose just bottling water and selling it. Don't know what the regulations are with this stuff. This one is clearly the best. This is Fiji water from the islands of Fiji. I love it. And then my personal favorite, LaCroix. Naturally essenced blackberry cucumber. The rumor is that this water is flavored just by whispers of the flavors. So it's zero everything carbonated, but has a natural essence to it. And then I brought my own water today. This is Pretty Good Water by Paul Diani. And it's a little yellow. I bottled it this morning from the natural spring in my parents' front yard. Tom said he only drinks stuff with labels, so I put a label on it. Now it's legit. So these are all these different waters. You know, I don't know if you go to the store which one you're going to pick, probably the cheapest. Or maybe you're into the natural stuff and you're going to pick up a bottle of Fiji water. Which, by the way, you want to hear this? Let's see. The distinctive taste of Fiji water is in the making. That's how long it takes a tropical rainfall to filter through the ancient volcano rock and naturally acquire the silicon that gives you Fiji's signature soft, smooth taste. It's untouched by man until you unscrew the cap. That is impressive. But one, you know, obviously these are all different types of water. They have that in common, but they're not the same purity of water. You know, I mean, you're definitely not going to drink this Pretty Good water, because I mean, you could tell right off the bat it's yellow. Probably has a stink taste, not right. But even these ones aren't the same. My brother's pretty convinced that if I only drank LaCroix for a month, which I would do, cook all my food in LaCroix, he's pretty sure that I would die because it doesn't provide the nutrients that your body needs, which I think is pretty interesting because it has zero everything. But versus if I could only drink Fiji water. If Fiji water came out of my taps from my faucet and I cooked, drank, eat, cleaned everything with Fiji water, would my life be significantly better? Would I feel healthier? Maybe. But pure water actually exists in all of these, but they are all different added molecules to them. Some of them have added electrolytes. Some of them have live bacteria in them, but they're all pure water in them. And pure water is an ionic molecule, so it attracts other molecules to it. And even on planet Earth, there is no natural source of pure water. Water, since it attracts stuff to it, is always combined with other things. And in fact, if you distill water and get pure water, and you drink too much of it, it'll actually start to suck nutrients out of your body that you probably need, and will end up killing you. So you actually need the molecules that are in water to survive. A couple of fun facts about water. 71% of the Earth's surface is covered in water. Let me pull up my notes here. Water is an important thing in living organisms. Up to 90% of body weight in some organisms is pure water, and up to 60% of our body weight is water. So if you need something to survive, it's water, because your body is made of it. And the quality of water that you drink actually does affect your health and your quality of life. We have a natural instinct to not drink certain water because we know that it's bad for you. But sometimes it can get a little confusing, because maybe I'm just going to buy the cheapest water because that's what's affordable. But if you have the money, you know, obviously you want to buy the best water. So the question is, can drinking a certain type of water really change the quality of your life? So we have a mission that goes to Brazil. If you haven't heard of it, I'm sure you have. There's a little video that plays in our foyer. We've done a bunch of, we did these last 2 weeks ago. We did a mission Sunday. We just talked about what we do down there. But basically what we do is we buy these biofilters, which is just sand, rock, and dirt. And we bring it down to the people in the Amazon, and we show them that if you put the Amazon water in the filter, it'll clean it, and it will prevent you from getting any harmful diseases that come from drinking water like that. The problem is the people down there don't really, well, for lack of a better word, they don't really believe you at first, you know, because you're looking at the Amazon water, it's clear, it doesn't stink, it doesn't taste like it's bad. But yet, we know that a lot of the health problems that they're dealing with their children having bloated stomachs or just different type of diseases, is probably due to the fact that they're drinking impure water. And so we know, like, let's bring these filters, let's help them understand that drinking good water is important to having a good quality of life. And so, you know, my dad has been down there and a couple others, and it's a pretty big sacrifice just to get down there, but it's worth it to help these people improve their life. And so today, what's interesting is what we're going to be talking about is not only can some water be harmful to your health, like my water, but actually drinking the right water can be incredibly helpful to living a healthy life. And so I want to take a look at a really quick story when Jesus, he mentions this. He says, yes, there are harmful waters, but in fact, there's actually one type of water that is the best water, and it's perfectly fulfilling and perfectly satisfying, and you'll never thirst again. And so in John 4, verses 10, Jesus is walking, and he's with his disciples, and they stop to get a drink. His disciples go to get some food. He's sitting at this well that was dug thousands of years ago, and a lady comes to draw water, and he starts talking to her, and that was a little taboo in the day. And so the lady's probably a little freaked out for a couple reasons, but she essentially, this strange man is talking to her, so she's probably a little like, why are you talking to me? But he says, can you draw me a drink? And so she's a little freaked out, but he says, if you knew how good and generous God is, and if you knew who I am, and we can look at it, verse 10 if you guys want here. He says, if you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh living water. And the woman said, well, sir, you don't even have a bucket to draw with, and this well is deep. So how are you going to give me this living water? Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it, he and his sons and livestock? And Jesus said, everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty, the water from this well.
But anyone who drinks the water that I will give will never thirst. The water I will give will be an artesian spring with gushing fountains of endless life. And the woman said, Sir, give me this water so I will never thirst again and won't ever have to come back to this well again.
It's a pretty interesting statement that Jesus is making. I mean, you know, he's basically saying, like, I am a well of water. And at first, it's kind of, I don't know, it seems a little far-fetched. You know, this lady's like, what do you mean? Like, this well is thousands of years old. First of all, you don't even have a bucket to draw with. And what are you talking about, water that will I'll never thirst again? Like, what does that even mean? And so, I don't think Jesus is talking about physical water here, obviously. Jesus is talking about spiritual water. And maybe, you know, you've realized that, yeah, we get thirsty and we need water to survive physically. But maybe not all of you have realized that our soul gets thirsty. Our soul gets thirsty. And, you know, you've come to church today because you realize that you want to be satisfied. Your soul is hungry and you need to satisfy that. Like, you need to nourish your soul. And that's why we come to church together. That's why we read the Bible. And Jesus is saying that there's a water for your soul that is so pure and so good that you'll never thirst again. I wanted to think about that for a second. So if our soul is thirsty, what is it thirsty for? What was this woman thirsty for? You know, obviously she was drawing water to practically satisfy her thirst. But she was also, Jesus could tell that she was thirsty for something more. And he begins to talk about this thirst that she has. And what is this thirst? And I think we can relate with this because honestly, we are all searching for something. We are all searching for, your soul is thirsty for a lot of things. And just to name a few, you're thirsty for joy in life. You're thirsty for purpose. You're thirsty for love, acceptance, identity. You know, that's just a couple things that I think we're all looking for on a daily basis. Satisfaction is a big one. You know, we don't want to be dissatisfied. I don't like being dissatisfied. It's hard to deal with. It could lead to depression. But we're searching for those things. And I wanted to look at it, or there's just a quick example here where Paul the Apostle was called to preach to people all around the Mediterranean region, and he actually traveled to Athens. And at the time, in Greece, they had come up with all these Greek gods. All these, I mean, I'm sure you've heard of them, you know, just all, you know, Hercules, whatever. But they carved all these sculptures of all these Greek gods, hundreds of them. And they had all these stories and all this stuff. And Paul is in Athens, and he's walking around. He's looking at all these shrines of these gods. And he notices that there's this shrine that says, to the unknown God. And so he stands up, and he says, you know, I've noticed as I've been here in Athens, he says, you guys are searching for God. You've come up with all these amazing ideas of gods, these different versions of God. But yet you know that there's still something more. You're dissatisfied because what you're searching for, your soul is thirsty for joy and completeness and purpose and satisfaction, and you haven't found it yet. And he says, and I'm here to tell you that this unknown God that you're searching for is right next to you, and he's searching for you. And in fact, this unknown God has made himself known to you through the life of a man named Jesus. And he begins to tell them this, and then he says something totally whacked. He says, and this man Jesus lived a perfect life. He died, and he rose again. And at that time, there was a little division. Some people said, wait, what did you just say? A man is God. He died, he rose again. That's nonsense. And they begin to walk away from Paul because they didn't want to hear any more of it. But yet others stood there and said, I'm interested in what you're talking about. I may not understand everything you're talking about, but I feel what you're talking about is true. I know that true joy and happiness and satisfaction can be had in this life, and that it's not some unattainable mystical thing. And I want to learn more about this Jesus that you're talking about. This pure water, this living water. The last thing I want to look at is a story in Matthew chapter 16. And this is a story where Jesus asked Peter and his disciples the very same question about who he was. And really, this question of who Jesus is my favorite question of all time. It is so fun to sit down with people, no matter what their background is or what their belief is, and begin to talk about this man, Jesus. Because in America, and in our time, everybody has heard about Jesus. And everybody has an opinion about who he is. And I don't just go around asking people, hey, what do you think about Jesus? What do you think about Jesus? Because there's really a time and a place to have this conversation. I look forward to it with people that I'm friends with that really, I have a lot of friends that lately it seems like I've interacted with a lot of men my age who are searching, just like the Greeks were. They're searching for something, and almost like this, it's almost like what they're saying is perfect. That, you know, there's something more. It's like I'm searching for purpose. It's like I'm searching for joy, or I'm just dissatisfied. And in my heart, I feel like Paul, and I'm like exploding because I'm like, I know that this God you're searching for is real, and he's searching for you. But I don't want to freak him out like Paul accidentally freaked out some of these Greeks. And I'm careful, you know. I want to make them know that I love them and that God loves them. And so I wait for the right time and the moment where I just can't wait, and I want to say, "Hey, who do you think Jesus is? Let's talk about Jesus and what he means and what his life meant and what it demonstrates to us." And so in the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Jesus is with his disciples, and he says to his disciples, what are people saying about the Son of Man? What are they saying about me? Who do they say that I am? And they reply, some think you are John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Some say Jeremiah or other prophets. And then he presses them, well, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter says, you are Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So I want to stop there real quick. The answer to Jesus' question to the disciples kind of sounded like this. He says, who do people say that I am? And some of them said, some people say that you're LaCroix. Pretty good, naturally essenced water. Some people say that you're smart water or life water, maybe even Fiji water. But then he says, but Peter, no, he didn't even ask Peter. He just says, well, who do you guys say that I am? And Peter pipes up and he says, Jesus, you are the purest water. You are the living water of life. You're better than all of these waters. And if you continue to read in chapter 7, verse 17, Jesus has a very interesting response to Peter's answer. And he says, God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah, or Peter. You didn't get that answer out of a book or from a teacher. But my Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on the secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you, Peter, who you are. He says this, you are a rock, and on this rock I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not only the gates of hell will be able to stand and keep it out. And that's not all. You will have complete and free access to the kingdom of God, to the keys to any door. No more barriers between heaven and earth. A yes in earth is a yes in heaven, and a no on earth is a no in heaven. So Jesus says that Peter's revelation about who Christ is, who he
was revealed to him through the Father. That confused me at first, I'll be honest. I was like, wait, how does that work? But I think simply put, it's like this. You are not in control of a lot of things in your life. I mean, you can control a lot of it, but a lot of stuff is just happening to you all the time. And, you know, you didn't really choose to be born in this life with the family that you were given, but it just kind of happened to you. And, you know, you're here today maybe by choice, but when you get to hear the good news about who Jesus is, maybe the first time you heard it, or even now when you're hearing it, I believe that it's divine. I believe that God ordained for you to hear the good news about who he was. It's not an accident. When you begin to understand and believe and see Jesus for who he is, it's a divine experience. God has led you to that. It has not happened on your own free will, but like God leading you and searching you and seeking after you. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, Peter, you, like God has sought you and he has shown you who I am. Blessed are you for realizing that. And then my favorite part of this scripture is when Jesus responds to Peter and says, Peter, now that you know who I am, I can tell you who you are, who you really are. Because when you see my identity as the Son of God, as the living water of life, I can speak into you your true identity as a Son of God. And he begins to speak over Peter, truth about who he is. He says, Peter, you're a rock. Peter, I'm going to build my church upon you. Peter, nothing can stand against you. You are going to have access to heaven, and everything that you will on earth will be willed in heaven. And it's just this crazy amount of truth that Jesus is dropping on Peter, and Peter's probably like, wow. And so there's this cool thing that happens, and that I think this is really why we're calling this defining moment, and why we're picking this scripture today. Because, again, we need water practically to survive. We have to decide which waters to drink. We know at least enough that if you compare two of these, that one's yellow and stinky. We're not going to drink it. We have that ability to do that. And we know that our soul gets thirsty like our body does. And in the same way, we have to decide what water to drink. And there's a lot of waters out there. The Athenian people of Greece searched and made up gods and sculpted things and developed religions and practices. But yet, through all of their history, they still felt this unknown God existed. What is this joy that I'm searching after? I'm dissatisfied. Where is this satisfaction? And Jesus came to a woman at a well and he said, I am living water. I am the way. Look at me. Model my life. I'm a perfect example of who God is. And then Peter has this defining moment where Jesus says, who am I? Who am I? Everyone else is saying you're all these things, but who am I to you, Peter? And Peter says, I see you as the pure water of life, the one water my soul thirsts for. You can satisfy me, Peter says. You can satisfy my desires. And because of that, Peter begins to see himself for who he is. It's a very pivotal moment. We all, I believe, are given a moment like that. You're given that moment right now. You chose to sit here and you're listening. So if you haven't had that moment, then it's now. But if you've already had that moment, recognize what's happening here for Peter. He's choosing to see Jesus for what he says he is, pure living water. And because of that, he is satisfied fully. Joy, satisfaction, purpose, community, love, all of the things your soul satisfied for
are searching for, and if there's something that your soul is looking for, if you feel like you're searching for something today, I can tell you, you can find it in Jesus. I can tell you that for sure. When the people on the Amazon, when we give them the filters, I was just talking with my dad about this, when you give them the filters, you say, stop drinking the Amazon water and start drinking the clean water. They might not see it right away. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll stop getting diarrhea right away. But in the long term, they're going to live longer, healthier lives. And that's what I want to tell you today, is that I assure you from my own experience that when you see Jesus for who he is, when you believe in him and search after him and model your life after the living water that Jesus is, you feel the satisfaction and the joy that he promises. And there is nothing better than that. And then at the same time, he whispers to me my true identity as a son of God. And it's amazing. And that's a defining moment. You know, that's a defining moment. And I search after that every single week, every single day. I'm searching for Jesus. I'm modeling my life after him. I'm listening to his words. I'm talking to him in prayer. I'm learning more about who God is through the scriptures. So I just want to close with one thought. Are you seeking satisfaction? You can go ahead and close your eyes here. Are we still thirsty? And if you're seeking God, there's a passage in Jeremiah where it says, if you seek with all of your heart, you will find me. If your heart is open to me, I will reveal myself to you. That's a promise. So today, if there is something that you are searching for, if your heart is dissatisfied, if you don't feel the joy that's being promised in your life, God wants to give that to you today, because he's that good. He is that good. And I just pray that right now, like Jesus said, that the Father would make himself known to you. Now, he's not going to leave you hanging. If you put yourself out there, he's not going to leave you hanging. He will reveal himself to you. And that this could be a defining moment for you. Just thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. I thank you that you have revealed yourself to me. And that I am so excited to get to reveal you to other people through the scriptures and through just my life. And that I model my life after you so that I could make God known and be famous. Make God famous. I just thank you, Jesus. And that if anyone is seeking you today, God, that you would reveal yourself to them right now. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Paul. Good word, man. All right. Let's let Paul know we appreciate his word this morning. Let's stand up. I just can feel that though, Paul. I mean, I'm thinking, man, I feel satisfied. There is something about when you connect with God, you feel satisfied. It's not like it's a 24/7, but there is that sense of my life has meaning, man. My life is full, so... Mm-hmm. He is the living water. Let's have our ushers come forward. We're going to take our offering at this time.
I got one more thing for you guys, because this blew my mind. There's one defining characteristic that changes everything. Because, you know, this isn't just about finding happiness and joy in life, although those are good, important things. But Jesus distinguished himself in one very important way. And, you know, these bottles have different definitions of water on them, but there's one characteristic of Jesus that is not on any other thing in life, and that is full everlasting life, forever, no death, right? And if you really think about that, That changes everything. Because we no longer have to live under the oppressive reality of death anymore. And because of that, we can live a totally different life. A life that's not constrained by our mere existence on this earth, but an everlasting life. That's who Jesus said that he was. And that is totally different than anything else you're going to find anywhere.
All right. Well, so I would feel remiss if I didn't give an opportunity today. You know, Paul's talking about drinking water that satisfies your soul. And I just wonder, are there some of you here today who are really thirsty spiritually? Are thirsty? You know, this is different than saying go to church, be good. But what we're talking about here is connecting with God, drinking of the life of God. And Jesus said, when you do that, your soul begins to be satisfied. You begin to experience a new life. And so I would just like to take a moment here, and we're just going to pray, and I want to invite the Holy Spirit and let him maybe just give him that opportunity to shine the light in your heart. And if you're standing here and you're realizing, you know, I've never really made that connection. I've never really surrendered my life. I've never really opened my heart up to God. And I tell you, if you would do that today, you will begin to drink of living water. It will be a supernatural experience. So Father, I just pray right now. Holy Spirit, just come. I just sense, God, that there are some thirsty souls here today. People that maybe have been trying to quench the thirst through other means. But this morning, God, you're speaking to them and you're telling them this is the water they're thirsting for. You. Accepting you. Drinking of you, Jesus. The pure living water. And I pray, Holy Spirit, just right now, just move among us. Just shine your light. Jesus, you said you're the only one who could reveal yourself to them. It has to be a God moment. And I pray, Father, now let there be a God moment. Let your light shine. Awaken hearts that are thirsty this morning. If I'm talking to you and you're sensing that's what you're feeling this morning, would you just do me a favor? Just right where you're standing, just hold your hand up and say, Pastor Dave, I'm thirsty this morning. I want to drink of that water. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. All the way in the back. Yep, there's one lady who has her hand up right there. Come on. Anybody else? You're thirsty this morning. You want to drink and satisfy your soul. Just hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you. A real simple prayer, but it is a work of God that's going to take place. Anybody else this morning? Just hold your hand up. All right, let's pray. Michael's standing right over there. Let's just pray together. Real simple prayer. All pray this together. Jesus, I open my heart to you right now.
Open my heart to you.
Please fill me with that living water.
Fill me with that living water.
Satisfy my soul. I recognize you as my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. Surrender my life to you today. Just come, Holy Spirit, right now. Let there be a God moment right now, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And just as we're praying, I also did sense maybe there's, you know, some of you this morning that feel like you're wandering. You know, Paul was talking about when Peter got the revelation who Jesus was, Jesus said, "You're right, Peter. God has shown that to you," but he also said, "Now I'm going to reveal to you who you are." And I believe that is a God moment we all need to know who we are, what we're doing, where we're going. And I just wonder, you know, maybe there's some of you here today might feel like you're wandering. You had maybe even had direction, but just kind of lost it. And maybe when you heard Paul talking about finding your identity, there was something inside of you that said, man, I need that. I need a little clarity. And I believe the Holy Spirit will give that to you. It comes as you get your understanding of Him. As you get more, as you get closer to God, you will discover who you are. It's not about searching yourself out. It's about searching out God. But if there's any of you here this morning just sensing you need a little more direction, just do me a favor. Hold your hand. We want to pray for you. Just a clarity for direction in your life. Yeah, right over here. Just hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you. You know, when Paul was talking about finding your identity, there was something inside that said, yeah, I need a little more clarity, a little more direction in my life. Hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you. Ask that the Holy Spirit would reveal more of Himself to you, and then as He does, you'll find out more of your purpose, your direction, your plan in life. So let's just pray right now. Father, each one of these people have raised their hand right now. God, I believe You've been touching their hearts today. They're here for a reason. And whatever wandering they're going through, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, as You reveal Yourself to them, they begin to understand their purpose, their plan, their direction. But God, there's a clarity that begins to show up today in their hearts, God. A confidence they're on the path. We bless them right now. In the name of Jesus, right now, we bless each one of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. God bless you, man. Thank you for raising your hand and making that decision this morning. We're with you in Jesus' name. We believe in God's going to honor that. So we're going to do this. We're going to close with our last song. And as we do each Sunday, we just open up the front. If you want to come up here and just honor God and, you know, maybe you want to talk to Him about something special, or just want to worship Him. But we're just closing out with our last song. So we invite you to come forward if you'd like to come up.